This week, I looked back at a sermon that I preached on this Hebrews passage 18 years ago here at Hope Church in October of 2000. For those of you who were present that day, I apologize. Now, I don't want to do that self-deprecating routine. It's kind of easy to do, but it is always odd to look back at things you've done a while ago. I'm sure some of you have had that experience too, especially things that you've put out there in the public. But the sermon in 2000 was fine. There was no harm done. It was a little bit long, but none of you remember it. But I did notice for myself with interest that the sermon that I preached then is not a sermon that I would preach now. I can understand what I was thinking then, but there are some things about my faith in God, about who I believe God is and who I believe I am, that I see differently now. And as I describe some of that to you today, perhaps there are some things like that that you will notice in yourself, some clarity of what holds true for you in your faith in God now. Because what I did see both then and now is a contrast in this Hebrews passage, a contrast about who we are as human beings, a contrast present within each of us. But what I see differently between then and now is what that contrast is. Back in 2000, I saw the contrast within each of us of what I called our sinfulness and our giftedness. But what I see in Hebrews now is a contrast being made about our capacity and our humility as human beings. So let me try to express what matters about that and hopefully do so in a way that matters to you too. This Hebrews passage is tough. If you just listen to it as you heard it read today, there's so much going on in it with obscure theological and spiritual nuances that are a challenge to understand. And I don't mean that as a cop-out. I should be able to understand challenging passages and communicate those to you. But what I mean is that you can tend to get sidetracked by how all over the place and technical this passage is, that you can miss out on the coherent spirit and intention of what is being expressed. And I think the place to go to for that coherent spirit and intention is the quote that comes from Psalm 8, the passage that someone said somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. That's where I see the central contrast in this passage between human capacity and humility. And I want to start with the capacity, which is the second part of that quote from Psalm 8. Human beings are only a little lower than the angels, and or God, it says in our Hebrew scriptures now, given glory and honor, all things subject to them. I wonder if that's how you think of the Bible in general describing humanity, in such glowing terms. Aren't we more accustomed to hearing a biblical narrative of humans as sinful and broken, as judged and lost? And I wonder if that's a narrative that we've come to expect and read into Scripture, something that we expect to see, and so we do. But I find at this point in my theological, social, personal, political, vocational, relational life, that I am more and more intrigued by the very interesting reality that it is to be human. And the incredible capacities, the glory and honor, one could say, that are a part of being human. Capacities for love and loyalty, for creativity and courage, for kindness and compassion, for generosity and beauty, for growth and generativity, for knowledge and wisdom. Now let me pause here, just in case you think I'm making this up or I'm out of touch, either one. Certainly, the Bible is very clear also about human beings doing messed up things, sinful, evil, whatever words you would want to use to describe the violent debasement of and brought on by humanity. Scripture is clear that this is not good. And let me be clear. I see in the world today shockingly ample manifestations of this human debasement. Human harm done to others in ways great and small, seen and hidden, that depress and enrage, that exasperate and embitter and befuddle me. And then I see myself participating in that harm too. But what it seems to me that we often get wrong, what our faith, my faith, has often gotten sidetracked by, is that Scripture is speaking of all of these human failings not because it is an offense to God to be reckoned with, but because it is a waste of, a diminishment of what God has made us and this world to be. That is what we must reckon with God for. As the writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 8, human beings just lower than God, given glory and honor, given power in God's world, we realize that the story of Jesus Christ, which Hebrews weaves around that quote, is an expression of how much this messed up world and its messed up people matter to God. It would seem then and now that God would just give up given the state of things. But that's not what happens. As Hebrews speaks of sin and purification, of suffering and salvation, it does so as an expression of God in Christ reclaiming the human capacity to live up to the honor and glory for which human beings were created. And it's just as we recognize and claim that honor and glory that we have to put it together with the first part of that Psalm 8 quote. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? One way to get at the meaning of this is to quote the two essential laws for living. Do you know those two laws? One, there is a God. Two, it is not you. You know that? I think I've told you those before. One, there is a God. Two, it is not you. Remember that and you'll do pretty well in life. That's the profound wisdom expressed in Psalm 8, that the remarkable reality of being human is not that we are God, but that we have a unique capacity to know ourselves in relationship with God. We have the capacity for a beautiful humility, which is that we are given the capacity for perspective, the perspective that life is a gift, given to us in order to live out the creative goodness of the one, the God who made us, the humility to live lives with true gratitude. Which is to say that we must read into this passage something when it says that we are created to put all things in subjection to us, when it talks about us having dominion over things, that we must read that as communion with. I know it says all things are subject to us, but it's when we live with power over, control over, diminishment of others and other things, that's when all that we describe that is sinful and evil is played out in our world in deadly ways. But we can read into this passage a different kind of power because that's what it says about God, because of the story of our Creator. The one who is the power of life for all, the one who has dominion over all, this God of power comes in Jesus Christ to restore communion with us, comes to us. The God of power lowers God's self in Christ to restore relationship and communion with us. At the end of this Hebrews passage, that other psalm quotes Jesus as saying, "You are my sisters and brothers. You are my family." It's a remarkable summary of the good news. The story of God in Christ using God's power to claim us as family, reclaiming the honor and glory of who we are created to be. And that's what calls us to hear that as our story too. Created and recreated to use the power of who we are to join in a community of life with others. And that leads me to the final thing that I find different in myself from 2000 to 2018, which is that while I find great joy on a World Communion Sunday in the image of gathering at the table with the worldwide body of Christ, that I find it is just as an important image to me to think of World Communion Monday and Tuesday and each day after, that connects me with all who are seeking to live out their true humanity, all who are seeking a life of communion with others and with creation and with God. What inspires and teaches and grounds and calls and just keeps me going some days is to know that in the midst of all the challenges that people face in this world, and there is so much that people face in their lives, that in the midst of all that, there are those with the courage to live in that story, the capacity to be a part of love and loyalty, creativity and courage, kindness and compassion, justice and generosity and beauty, and to do so with the humility of gratitude for each day. Whoever, wherever that is who we as Christians seek to live in communion with. That is what we will persist in witnessing to as our shared humanity for which God created us. That is the story of our God, claimed by God in Jesus Christ. And that is the story God teaches us to live, the capacity and humility of true life that we are nourished in at the table of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.